Hi, everybody. Welcome to the IsCast episode number 25. This is our first video podcast. How's it feel?
It feels good.
To be seen and heard.
Now you know what all of our lovely faces look like.
Yes. We wanted to do something special for season 3 of our podcast. Hopefully it works out okay. We'll see. And yeah, we got a lot of awesome stuff to talk about today. We are going to start it off with some updates with us. Not a whole lot besides editing Dawn Under Heaven. There's also a lot of cool...
Yes, the fun of editing.
Camera Tech, Microsoft obviously had a big announcement that they had in the last 2 weeks,
I think it was this past week.
Yeah. Everyone's been talking about. And then we went and saw Jupiter Ascending today. So we have a lot of opinions on that as well. But yeah, to kick it off, we're obviously working on Post and Dawn. You can see we've got some armor pieces right here on the table. The ODST helmet, the trooper helmet, and our ghost character. Spoiler alert.
Voiced by Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes. Did we have that as an Easter egg?
He was gracious
in the movie?
No.
I was denied.
What did you want to do? Where did you want to put it?
I wanted to put it in the cargo hold or whatever.
That would have been
funny.
Like,
David, I should do this. I should do this. And David's like, no, you're not doing
okay,
it.
Before we get...
Grimoire. It'd be a grimoire.
Okay.
The 51st.
First off, in my defense, before we get all the hate mail about it, is... Because of how little there was up in those things, I thought it would have been pretty obvious of it being there. And also, if you guys all hate me for it, we have reshoots to do.
Yeah.
Could do it.
So it's an option. Yeah. We could
put it in post.
Instead of we go to the first point or whatever, when we're on the quarry, and then he looks down and oh, here's a relic. Oh no, it's just a dead ghost.
No spoilers, Ben.
Whoops.
We'll have to bleep all of that.
Oh boy, yeah. But David, you're gonna get a lot of hate mail. It's gonna be exclusively from Melissa.
There we go.
Why?
Melissa's gonna write you the hate mail.
Yeah, I will be writing you hate mail about getting...
She'll make a good design about it.
And then, we also didn't do the Easter egg that you promised.
What other Easter egg? I'm getting blamed for a whole lot of stuff.
David
right
was going to put a floppy disk in the Pelican cockpit that he never did. What was that?
I feel bad about that. Okay, yeah.
You made such a big deal out of it.
I know. Oh, shoot. I wonder if there's a way we can work it in.
Yeah.
The idea that we had, because one of our set pieces was a Pelican cockpit, and one of the things that has been sitting around and I've had now for the past 4 years is an old light board that I got from school, and it was just going to be thrown out. So hey, I can use this in a sci-fi thing someday. So I kept it, and it's been taking up space for the last 4 years. And so, and on it, because it's an old light board, it's controlled or it saves onto floppy disk. And my idea was I was going to pull that drive out and just have it be unreferenced on in the sidewall of the Pelican cockpit. She wasn't going to eject a disk from it or anything, but it was just going to be there.
I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah, exactly. That's Rosetta's backup right there. 1.4 megs.
Compress Rosetta down into 256 kilobytes or something
that. Yeah, exactly. She gets regressed down into a toddler.
Yep.
Goes there.
So yeah, we're working on that. We're also going to get back into Let's Plays. It's been a while. We did a couple tests. I don't know. Did we do an official episode of Let's Plays?
No, none of them was ever officially published.
Sure.
It was all internal.
We have a couple scenarios in Minecraft we wanted to try, and also a game called iDarb for the Xbox One. That's a cool competitive game that introduces live hashtags that affect gameplay if people are watching a live stream. So we might try that one as well.
Yeah.
Free on Xbox One?
Yes, this month.
For the gold.
I was actually going to ask you guys, were there any other games you wanted to try doing Let's Plays on that you can think of?
There was this cool game that came out. It's called Samurai Gun. It's a LAN-only multiplayer, but essentially you are an 8-bit samurai. You run around on the map with a whole bunch of other samurais. You have your sword, and you have a gun, but it only has 3 bullets. But if you swipe your sword, you can block a bullet. You can shoot it back at a person, and everybody has a one-hit kill. But when you kill a person, it gets into this weird, artistic, it letterboxes everything and zooms in on those 2 people. What?
That's cool.
Yeah.
There was also a 4-player co-op game, or competitive game. I think it's called Screen Sheet. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah.
It came out a while back.
Yeah, you played that at Game Informer.
Your opponents are invisible when you're playing. The only way you can know where they are is by screen cheating. So you have to screen
Fantastic.
Cheat to get kills.
Mm.
But yeah, we'll figure that out.
I think we should do a Halo co-op Donner Heaven edition.
That would be
cool. That would be a good one.
Talk about Donner Heaven, how it fits, like maybe like play like Halo Reach or something.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, that's
we should like, all have to see how it fits in,
and then we talk about all the behind the scenes stuff.
And if you die too often, you have to wear the blacked out ODST.
Or if you kill too many people, that could be your handicap.
True.
Yeah.
Melissa has to first play Reach. She hasn't done that.
Oh.
I'm gonna call her out right here.
I played Halo 1 and 2 so much, and then
dropped off. What was another game? I'm forgetting. Shoot, what game is it?
I don't know, man.
We were talking about screen cheat, and I don't know.
Well, we'll come back to that.
I also realized I shouldn't be wearing this.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't have a 360. Dying Light. I only have an Xbox and an Xbox One. Well, I skipped.
So she missed Halo 3, ODST, and Reach.
Yeah, I didn't have a 360. That's why I didn't play
And
Reach.
Halo Wars. Who played that?
See, if they released Halo Wars for PC, I totally would have played it.
Yeah, I would have
played it a little bit.
I had no interest in playing
it. I went on YouTube and watched the cutscenes.
Cool. So that's what's going on with us. David, I'm curious, what's this new 5D?
Yes. This will be really cool for no video makers out there.
Okay.
So the new 5D is the current 5D is a great camera, and that's what sort of started the, or not the my 5D Mark III, but the original 5D.
If you don't know what it
is. Oh, yeah. A DSLR camera.
Yeah, sorry. So that's sort of the original 5D is what really started the sort of the DSLR filmmaking stuff. And so with the current version, the 5D Mark III is a 20 megapixel sensor. The new one is a mind-boggling, the highest resolution DSLR out there. It's now 50.6 megapixel camera.
Does that do 4K then?
That's the thing. It doesn't.
Oh, so it's just for still photography.
That's what has some people scratching their heads.
Which is its main purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what has people scratching their heads right now, because there's so many cameras like still not exactly DSLR, but SLR cameras that you can get now, like the GH4 and the Sony A7S. Mm-hmm. All of those things you can do 4K video on, and they're a fraction of the cost of the 5D. The 5DS and the 5DSR are the two new models. They have they're $3,900, so they're about $4,000 more expensive than the 5D Mark III. So they're not cheap, but the video capabilities are all exactly the same as the other one. So it sort of has some people scratching their heads as why is Canon going to end up continuing to lose ground in the in that DSLR filmmaking market, and are they focusing too much on their EOS cinema line, like the C100, C300, which are great cameras, but they're obviously a lot more expensive, and are they going to continue to lose out because people are going for the more inexpensive option?
You know, that's a good point, but I mean, maybe that's just them trying to say, okay, if you want to shoot inexpensive 1080, yeah, you can use the 5D, but for 4K, we want you to purchase our top of the line.
I think we'd first, and I don't know, is what is that market? You know, to me, I don't think it is the 5D. Like, that's, people are getting 5Ds are probably, to me, more professional camera. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're shooting pictures, but
or
somewhere
between professional and amateur.
Yes, no. The 5D Mark III, because you know it is still $3,500 originally. That one is for the still, like, for if you're going to like the high end shooter. I see a lot of high end shooters are using like Nikons. And the high-end one guys are, highest end you're going to then medium format cameras, which is beyond any of us. The 1DC is sort of that's our high-end. And the interesting thing is, the 1DC is, so it's the biggest brother to the 5D, so it's still a still camera, but it will do 4K video internally.
We need like pictures above us, like showing these cameras. I'm like trying to think of like, what is this one? What is this one? Yeah. If you click the annotations.
Here, you, whenever we need to do a picture, hold it right there, because then we'll cover Wade's face.
Right here, and then we can just put it over the top.
Yep, and so we can make all the faces, and then when he's not expecting the video, I'll take the photo away.
Brilliant.
So, quick question. Is there a quantifiable megapixel for the human eyesight, as far as what we see?
It that will go into a really big discussion, but basically there's arguments about it, because technically it is gargantuan, but technically it is minute.
Okay. Yeah.
Because basically your main focus point is a spot in the center of your eye, and that itself is not very thing. But one thing our mind and brains can do is we're sort of sub-scanning everything around it, so it appears that it's all, you know, the high resolution, whatever it is. So it's sort of a weird thing.
But I want to know what the resolution is for the Eye of Sauron. Like what his resolution is. Obviously, it's not great, because in the final film, he looks right at Frodo and is like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
he's like a little monocle.
Lost his contact, but
maybe he sees too much detail, and then he can't like just over those
two days, small. Maybe. I don't know. I liked it much better.
Frodo's so small. Because
he's a hobbit.
I didn't like how it was a spotlight. I like the idea that he was like looking at all places at all times. Anyway, off topic.
Yeah. But then the other really quick tech thing is that is exciting. Well, because are all of us on Lightning for our iPhone device? We're all on Lightning. Yeah. No one's using 30-pin anymore. Because Lightning has been like, those are the first for the reversible thing. And so now there's...
Sean just pointed to himself.
And there's the new USB-C connector, which is now USB 3.1, I think is what it is. So it has the speed of 3.1. It looks about the same size as Lightning. 3.1. But now it's... Yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Okay, I think the running joke with that one is that you're still going to have to flip it to get it to work, regardless of what it
is. Right. If that will be a fantastic virus that will start floating around, and people get really confused. And there's also the rumor that the new MacBook Airs... might be the only connection on it.
What?
Which makes you think, like, are they going to do all wireless, or is it going to have to be like this weird hub thing on the side?
I think they're going to have to do a breakout box. People are going to plug in a hard drive.
My argument there is that's not the market. People that are hooking a bunch of things up to the computer are getting the Mac Pro Pros, not the Mac Airs.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
They're business people traveling, going into conference rooms, throwing up wireless projections or they can plug in the dongle.
I don't know what kind of conferences you've been in, but mine, I mean...
I know. A lot of them aren't updated.
That have wireless capabilities have been zero, and these are at large, large corporations.
But most of those people have PCs and
Dells
and...
Then maybe they should join the rest of...
That's the problem.
Rest of the civilized world and, you know...
Hey,
Apple, if you're wanting to sponsor us... You know, you can find us online, go to our website, contact.
That's what they need, sponsors. they don't get enough revenue.
Yeah. No, not at all. That one they just sold how many iPhones? That in the last quarter was 74 million, which equates to 9 iPhones a second.
Well, and the new thought is they're going to release a 6S and also a 7 in the same year. 6S with the Apple Watch to try and drive more sales, and then 7 in the regular slot. So that would be
interesting. That sounds crazy.
Give me a small one. That like the iPhone 5
seems like a bad
that
idea
perfect for me.
I still
whatever
have
Hulk hands.
But hey. I have tiny hands, so I enjoy having a phone that doesn't, you know, is the size of my face.
Fair enough.
What do you have right now? A 6?
I have a 5S.
Okay.
So
I would like a 5 to 5.2. I think that would be perfect.
I want somewhere
5.5 is just a little too.
I want a personalized
too big
iPhone.
Yeah. If you could like. Adjust
phone
it. That'd be
what?
Sweet.
Oh, a Mi Phone.
Like on the Apple's website, design your perfect screen size.
Yeah, you can just pull it in and out.
Oh, you mean like our data path?
Yeah. Yep.
We're just going into spoiler territory now.
Yeah.
The data pad. Spoiler.
The data pad.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Can I just throw away?
The main.
And then to finish our trifecta of tech stuff with Microsoft, was that...
Yeah.
What do you
for 1 second. I'm going to cut right after that. We're getting a lot of talking over each other. I'm seeing like we got stuff of you guys talking, and then these guys are still talking.
Oh, sure. We'll
just be mindful of that, because it's harder to tell because we don't have our headphones.
Yeah, we do it less with the headphones. Yeah. Do you think Rooster Teeth does that? Do they talk over each other?
They just talk over each other.
Yeah.
It's pretty chaos.
Mm.
Yeah, but...
okay.
But where are we
leading in from?
So you just talked about Microsoft. So if Lee, do you want to start talking about some of that stuff? And then I'll just be cutting right
where's
from you.
Where's Monty fitting in here?
He's not till Oculus.
Okay.
It's all in order. So we reordered it. So Oculus is...
So is it still Microsoft, games, Nintendo, then Oculus?
But we don't have... Do we have any game releases, though? I don't think we actually do.
Not for a while.
Next week. Other than which?
Yeah.
Majora's Mask.
Ah, never mind.
Yes.
And that's just for upcoming games, like, for the year, like, or anything that we're looking forward to. Maybe in this quarter.
No.
But,
okay.
Anyways, did you want to start talking about the Microsoft stuff? Just jump into that?
Sure.
Well, what's easier for cutting? Well, sorry, I was just gonna ask, because like, should he just like start talking about it, or should I?
Yeah, because you're like, so Microsoft,
you,
and then I'll
you,
be like,
you can probably just so, but after he said, give it a two count before jumping in, because it will be go from your just comment now, just Microsoft, and then there was the awkward pause where I jumped in, then I'll cut from that shot to our shot.
I'm gonna clap. That way I know where it is.
Okay,
thanks.
Yeah, Microsoft came out with a lot of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously the Halo or the Halo, is that?
HoloLens.
Holograms.
Whatever it is. Made a big rounds. Obviously, you know, part of me, I my take on it, it's still kind of not real yet. You know, they did have a working prototype, and I heard it was pretty cool. Yeah.
I just feel like it's the hype train. Because, like, remember, like, when Microsoft first talked about, like, their Surface? Like, not the
tablet, coffee table Surface.
But the conference table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is super cool. And then, like, it's, like, $5,000 and no one's like, I'm not gonna buy that table.
Yeah. Well, even like the Kinect, which is in a lot of people's homes, it has this like cool, it can track me, I can talk to it, but the reality is how you use it isn't necessarily like good yet.
Yeah.
Real quick, so we didn't address actually what Microsoft did. They had an event kind of like Apple, it felt like. Have they done stuff like that before?
Yeah, no, yes. They've been doing it, but
a little bit,
but with like everyone is trying to copy that, but I think just the clout of Apple, Apple's gets the press.
It seemed like
in a bigger way.
I think people were saying they hadn't really done something like that since Bill Gates left.
Oh, sure.
More like on state, like personal.
They did for the Surface when the first Surface was announced.
Yeah, they did.
Because there was a funny gif because they were pulling out a Surface, and it's something that's never happened at an Apple event, but they pulled it up and it was like, and you can do this. Oh, well, you can do this. Yep, they had to put it away because of it failed the thing.
Yeah.
Or, it crashed or whatever. It was still a prototype.
But it seemed like they were trying to romance the hell out of every single thing they were talking about. It was before the hologram thing. It was that TV on the wall and for meeting conference rooms. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, because they bought a
company. Did anyone else watch it on live stream?
I didn't see it in the conference rooms, but I did hear about it.
Yeah, so like they were like, this is going to revolutionize how you meet with people. And it's basically like a 30-inch screen on the wall that's a computer and has like Bluetooth and wireless and stuff.
And it's a touchscreen.
And it's a touchscreen.
So we've had that forever.
But this is going to revolutionize traditional meetings. I don't know.
I think they had it before, but they were all separate pieces.
Yeah.
So this would be
combining. And also, I think this was... I think this is because, if I remember correctly, there was a company, I remember hearing about it. Actually, I think it was before the iPad came out, the original. They had one called... it was a company called, I think, like Pixel Perfection. Mm-hmm. And they basically specialized in large format, like 30-inch multi-touch screens. And I think it was basically, they mainly were like exclusively dealing with the Defense Department. Like it was used in like operation, like command operations buildings.
The military's had touch screens for a pretty long time.
Yeah, I think Microsoft bought that company, if I remember correctly. Don't quote me on it, but I think they bought them. So, and I think this is then their first coming out for a product that is geared towards the average large business as opposed to the biggest business.
Okay.
I think the problem, though, is people still don't like meeting with webcams. Like, when I was involved with, like, a training company, and, like, people would never turn on their webcam, so they want to be hidden, they want to not be seen, they want to be in their PJs at home.
Someone, right over here.
I want to be judged by someone you never know or never will
meet. I take a lot of conference calls with my regular job, and I will admit, I have taken conference calls in my pajamas.
Exactly, and then even when you're in a conference room with people, like, we'll, as a company, like, be having a meeting, and you press the mute button, and you have side conversations, but like, oh, this is going bad, we should flip this, okay, if you're on camera, you can't do that. They're going to see everything. So I think the...
You're really confused.
Like, they always show the videos. Like, the videos they usually show are, like, classrooms with kids, and they're, like, other kids talking, and, like, it's fun. But it's, like, practicalness isn't, to me, not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just wait until Facebook has its way with Oculus, and then you'll be putting that on in a chat room with other people.
Yeah, it's different.
Like, I mean, look over now, and I'll see Lee in his PJs, and he'll get up and walk away. Lee,
but it's
Lee, where are you going?
I'm my avatar can be anything I want. Like, I could be in my PJs, but be in a business suit.
Oh, snap.
There's an anime called Psychopass that actually has that. They have a whole, like, online realm where you can make your own avatar. Like, she's like a floating jellyfish.
Was your avatar gonna be Unikitty?
Maybe. Yeah. Business.
But they also announced Windows 10,
mm-hmm.
and there was a cool Xbox Live app.
Are you real quick?
No.
Notice
no.
It was Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
They skipped Windows 9.
Of course, because
the X,
like 9.5.
The X is better. Like, what other company can we think of that has been in an operating system 10 for many, many years now?
I don't know.
I wonder.
I feel like you just couldn't do, like, Windows 9.5, or is it Windows 95? I mean, you have to skip 9 because they've done 9 before.
Yeah. They've hit nine.
That's okay. Yeah. Let's just be brutally honest here. Yeah, Windows 98 was the most reliable operating system that Microsoft has put out so XP. Far.
Which is why good. It still runs too. Half of large businesses.
And well, I think most ATMs still run Windows XP, and they actually a lot of banks are paying. They have to pay Microsoft a very large sum every month to keep the support going for it because they.
Could you imagine?
Report.
Could you imagine an ATM running that Metro interface from Windows 8?
It's the interface formerly known as Metro because they can't actually call it Metro anymore.
Yeah.
Why?
It's a copyrighted term. For
what
a
the heck?
Agency in the UK. I
Didn't
think?
They also call their cloud service SkyDrive and now SkyDrive. It's OneDrive?
No. Yeah.
Yep. What the hell's going on?
Well,
they made a joke that that's what they should be calling their Windows. They're like, you think we should call it like something One because we've done. OneDrive and
Xbox One
Office yeah. or Office 365 or
yeah so yeah they had an Xbox Live
I like SkyDrive though because what do you see out your window
they had an Xbox app in Windows 10 so you could stream your Xbox games to any
PC
and tablet and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
I'm actually really excited for that. I
that's
try.
The take on cool. PlayStation, right? Because you can already do that with your Vita, and you know, if you have
yeah,
PlayStation
and the
4.
And the yeah. PlayStation TV too. Mm. The same setup.
Yeah, and then Steam has the reverse where you can go from your PC to
your TV.
A TV.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And then the last thing,
or other computers like laptops.
Yeah, the last thing was the thing we're hinting at before the hologram. Headset, which did you guys watch that as they were presenting, or did you watch the presentation?
I watched their little hype video.
The guy talked about it on stage for about like a half hour, saying like, "This is going to completely break everything you know about everything," and he's just like being really over the top. And then yeah, he's like, "I'm talking about a world with holograms."
The thing is, like, I still people like even with 3D movies, like we just went to one and we had to have those glasses on there, and they're mm-hmm. just like. You can see them in your view, and like even with the hologram, like you have to wear this big headset. Even with the Oculus, like people are gonna do it and use it, but it's not gonna be the wide public because they're not gonna like
plus,
see those,
what
like
it puts
things
on
their
your
head.
Eyes too. Like yeah. if you look at like on a screen all day, you're just like, I can't see another one by the end
yeah.
of the day.
Yeah, because it's sucks. Because the way it was described, it doesn't take up your whole view. It's actually just a little viewport into mm-hmm. the world that you see holograms on.
Right.
Yeah. No. One.
So it's not like the video seems like. Like grandiose. It's showing things behind him, like
yeah.
oh, he's surrounded.
His entire
and, like,
field of view,
yeah, like
hologram. And it's also interesting because I was reading a lot of the reports and articles from the press that was there afterwards, and you know they were all saying like they weren't allowed to take any photos of I think, and somebody they could do someone operating it, but they couldn't do any kind of like put the camera like into
first
it to try
view.
And see what it looks like. You weren't allowed to do it, but
yeah.
I know one thing is it will work for me when. You can have that kind of tech in this. When this is as big and as bulky and as obtrusive as a thing
to me,
that I have to
contact
wear.
Lenses.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't want to wear those. I don't need glasses.
Well, I've been wearing them forever, so I'm used to these things.
Yeah. I am anxious to try the Minecraft thing, because I think that might be fun if it's done well.
See, what I would love for them to do with that,
papers.
Because just by the scale of what they were doing, because one thing that I always thought would be cool, and there's third-party programs to do this, but just like world editing in Minecraft, if you want to get your baseline ideal world made. And what if it was a kind of thing where, okay, you're looking at your living room and you can say, okay, let's start making a new world and currently contour it to this room. So if it was this room here, you would have there'd be a plateau at the table, and then it goes into a valley, and then the couches are mountains, and it sort of defaults to that. And then you can go in and you can pull stuff up and make
mm-hmm.
caverns, and you can sort of create your base world from that.
Mm-hmm.
Might be really cool.
See, I don't think it works for video games though, because you always have the same setting of your living room.
Oh, and
like
and,
I when I play video games, like I want to do the Oculus because I want to be transported into
and, well,
another
and for,
realm.
And for that, what
another
I'm,
world.
For that, what I was referring to is like that's your editor. So you edit
yeah.
your world, and you make your... So I want to start out with these mountains here, and then I'll spawn here. Then you take that off.
But you're still
kind
confined
of
to your
Well, I mean, it's,
layout.
It's an option. Like I was
yeah.
saying, like that's... Or you can do it, okay, flat. Make it perfectly flat or whatever, and then I will create from nothing
mm-hmm.
that
cool.
way. So it's just like... It would be a default way to do
nothing.
It.
I shall create...
And I shall be Minecraft
God. We'll see. It might go the way of Google Glass. It might not, but...
Yeah, oh, and they just... Google Glass just stopped the Explorer program.
Mm-hmm.
Did they?
What's that?
Yeah. That was the program where like you could sign up to buy it. It was sort of like the early adapters, if you will. And that just ended. So it's thought about if... like I think the current head of the program wants to redesign them completely.
Yeah,
he wants to redo it.
He was the guy who designed and did Nest. That's what he did before, and now he has that project, and it sounds like it's going to be completely scrapped, redesigned.
They got just so much negative press with the whole glass hole thing, and just, you know, people being really offended by it. Well, that's Norton, we had a guy that we've Ben and I work together, and there's a guy in our office that has one, and it's annoying. Mm-hmm. It's annoying to
really?
Me.
Really? Yeah. Does he keep saying "Okay, glass" every 5 seconds?
No, I've heard him say that before. Yes, but it's just I don't know. There's something that seems like a breach of privacy.
It's what it is. I think is the thing how all human we all act differently when we know there are cameras on us, whether they are running or not. And you know, Grant, you know, if the phone's in your pocket, that's different. But you know, if a camera's out, they said that you know cameras change how you act simply by being there.
So Google Glass is like me doing this.
It's also because like you would see him sometimes like flick his eyes in conversation, so you knew that like your
attention was focusing. He was
looking straight at you, but it'd be me looking at you and like looking straight at Lee, but it still kind of looks like I'm looking at you. You know, it was very there's just like a loss of connection, I guess.
Ooh, yeah, it's weird. Google seems to have like this track record of like products that just don't work out. Like Google Wave, Lee and I signed up for that. Like
they finally like have their another. I think it's going to be successful. The inbox kind of seems like their next attempt. It's still like not as far as Google Wave or like what they're trying to do, but it's like a little like in between. It's pretty good. Gmail's not my main email right now, so it's hard to get a lot of exposure to it. But maybe they'll do it for like Google Apps and stuff for our company stuff.
Yeah,
cool. To bring up a show though that me and Alicia were watching from BBC. It's called Black Mirror, and it's kind of like a new take of what's that old show that.
Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah. Where, like, each episode is just, like, this really...
It's a vignette, almost.
Yeah, like, just a scenario, a weird scenario and just outlook on stuff. And they had an episode where it was people could get implants and it would capture everything you see as, like, memories. And you could always just go back and watch them in your eye or sync it up to a TV. Mm-hmm. It turned into this... Yeah, but it was really interesting. Like, kind of brings you up, like... If people had that, like, I was recording all this, like, every time, like, that, like, you have a recording of me now, like, that, like, do you own that, or, you know.
Oh, that's freaky.
I mean, CCTV is definitely a thing in many other countries, and so I wonder if, you know, Glass had a better reception in, like, the UK than it did here, maybe. No. I haven't heard much about it, I guess, in other countries.
America's much more private.
I don't know.
Because I thought it had a pretty limited release. On where you could buy it.
Yeah, I know it's like developers and whatever. Yeah. I mean, I imagine some went in there, but they just have a different perception of being recorded because you can't escape it there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Cool. So, yeah, I guess that's the tech stuff. We also, I don't know how much upcoming game stuff you guys want to talk about, but I don't know if you noticed the shirt I'm wearing.
We've reserved this time for Wade.
Majora's Mask remake drops next week. I'm pumped. Sean is super pumped about it. Have you guys played Majora's Mask at all?
I have.
The original?
I have not finished a Zelda game.
Whoa. Even I can't say that.
Really?
I have, yes, I've been Link
to
the
play
Past.
Link in the Past, and I was like, I tried so
well,
long. I just
played
Ben,
and finished one.
That makes sense now that you looked.
Hmm?
Never mind.
Ben,
save that for
the time is now to start.
Oh, I really wanted to do what's the one with the master sword or whatever?
What's that one Zelda game with the master sword?
Oh, is it? Are they all
every
all
single
all
fucking Zelda game?
Ocarina of Time. I really want to play Ocarina of Time.
That's the one with that Zelda character.
Yeah, that guy named Zelda.
Yeah, that's right.
That guy, right? No, it's the girl.
So are you gonna get the remake?
What?
You're gonna get the remake for the 3DS?
Yes, I am. I've made this rule for myself that I have to finish a game before I buy another one because, God, if you look at my Steam library, I have about, like, 80 games that I haven't even touched at all. So,
okay. Well, anyway, going back to the remake, there was a fan organization called Operation Moonfall, and after Ocarina of Time came out as a remake on the 3DS, all these fans wanted a remake of Majora's Mask. It seemed like the next logical conclusion, but there was nothing from Nintendo implying that they would make it, and then finally, they announced it a few months back, and, you know, fans were rejoicing. I was one of them. Kyle Hilliard from my work, who reviewed the game, gave it a 9.25. I think it was pretty accurate. I would maybe 9.5, something like that. But no, it plays super nice. I think it's like, it looks like it's higher than 30 frames per second, and it's really fluid. That's it nice. Plays really well. It's available on the new, well, of course it is, the new 3DS, which I got to play as well, which is awesome. So the 3DS, the 3D feature, the old version had you like keep your head in the same spot, and the 3D worked because you didn't move from that spot, but now it has head tracking, so you can do this, and it'll follow you.
That's pretty cool.
Which is amazing. That's
kind of snazzy.
I never used the 3D feature for Smash because, you know, I could never like keep my game, my 3DS still
you
enough.
You rage just too hard for that.
I rage way too hard. But now I played a game of Smash with the head tracking, and it's great. I love it.
Nice.
And it's a faster processor, and it has a C-stick on the right now, and for camera movements and stuff, like a right analog stick.
Yeah, I have to get that.
But yeah, the remake looks really cool. They made some tweaks just to streamline the game a little bit better.
Still a weird game.
It's very weird, but I love it. it's I don't know. To me, it's a perfect departure from the classic Zelda.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll hear more resurgence of the old video game myth about Majora's Mask, the Ben Drowned cartridge.
Oh yeah, the creepy pasta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I wonder if we'll see a resurgence. You guys not heard about that one?
What?
So there's like, you know, creepy pasta.
The summarized version, David.
Okay, summarized version is there was a cartridge.
You guys
of...
know what creepy pasta is, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No.
Like the...
Creepy pasta is a site where people just like make up stories that are meant to scare people.
Oh.
They do that on Reddit.
Yeah.
It's like it's basically Reddit or 4chan is where a lot of
this
these
guy got
start.
A haunted Majora's Mask cartridge that was like. Like he was playing the game and it was just like really like screwing with him and being glitchy, and he saw things that shouldn't happen in the game. And then there's YouTube videos with footage from the game that correspond to what he's talking about, and it's really freaky because I've played the game a lot and I know what doesn't happen in the game and shouldn't really happen, but things are like exploding and like
he'll catch fire, or yeah. Like there'll be a Link statue, so like a character of Link that just doesn't move and just like will appear in a scene.
It keeps following him.
Yeah, and it will follow you around. And
that's the ghost of the kid who drowned that used to own the game. And then there's a part where so when you play a Zelda game, it's always like third person and Link is facing in front. Then it went to black and it faded back up, and the Happy Mask Salesman was like looking straight ahead, like at you. And then in front of him was Link, was you, looking at you. Ooh. It was super creepy.
And then like it always, it's like if you die, it says like what is it?
You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Is what kept happening. Sean, have you heard about this? Okay. But anyway, yeah. So Majora's Mask remake. Yes. Also... Yeah. The Witcher 3, which I just did a feature on, looks amazing. I've never heard anything except about Witchers.
One. I haven't heard it either.
But I looked into Witcher 3.
I have it on PC.
I picked them both up during a Steam sale. I still have them. I haven't played them. I tried playing the first one, but the combat was really like... Yeah.
The first one's really hard because it's pretty old. And it's just kind of like jinky combat. The second one's a lot better. I think I skipped the first one just to play through the second one. I didn't finish it, but...
Sort of how you treat the Assassin's Creed games. You sort of skip the first
one.
At this
the
point,
first
you,
one,
you
go I like
the
first
one
Assassin's
where
Creed.
You jump it off and then you understand
it's
it.
Very repetitive. But no, the fact that like Kim Wallace at my work was talking about, she played the first 3 hours, and like you get to make so many choices that you have no idea how they're going to affect the gameplay and the story later on. And it's just this, like, it branches out like a tree, and like, where the story can grow and like where your character can turn.
It definitely does seem to be the next big steps in storytelling in video games is the idea of more choice
and like adaptive gameplay, like the Nemesis system in Mordor,
or like the video game, the game the Parable, the one
Stanley's Parable
will show that even though you think you have choice, you actually don't have choice.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Like, Ken is it Levine from
Ken Levine
from BioShock? He had a great talk at the developer conference, I forgot what it was called, like GDC or something like that. But that's what he's working on, is more of a, because even those games like The Witcher, like they're very still structured, like the Mass Effect, like it's, you only have so many options.
Yeah.
His project that he's working on with his limited team now, they're working on a system to kind of make it, there isn't really, they're trying to see if you can still have a main storyline with being, you know, so many X number of choices. And it's really complicated, and
it sounds great though.
It seems like you can't really mix the two. You either have to have this like blockbuster, like storyline, like linear, or you have it, you know, something more like Minecraft where it just kind of like, here's your world, and you kind of make it what you want it to be.
Yeah. I feel like the solution to that is letting the player create their story. Because like if you get into like a D&D setting, you as a DM can have like this huge structured plan, but then you'll have players that just want to like screw it all and like want to do their own thing. But then like if you learn to play with the player, the players create their own story, they share what they're interested in, and then you adapt to that.
I feel like this is, it's not going to be the military or anyone who makes up an AI. It's going to be some game developer that accidentally makes an AI to be a DM, a digital DM. They're going to want to make a game, but they realize that they can't have a rigid program be able to handle the game they want to make, so they accidentally make an AI. That's a good movie idea.
Oh, and the AI is going
to... We hold that. That's copyrighted now.
That's proof. Also, the world, just real quick, going back to The Witcher, the world itself is really big. It's 20% larger than the world in Skyrim.
Wow.
That's a big... I've been playing through that again. That's a big world.
Yeah. So, like, there's parts where you have to take a boat.
How does it compare to... what was the new one from BioWare?
Dragon Age. It's hard to say. I haven't played it. Yeah. I've just seen the gameplay footage and heard it described.
We need to get a copy of Dragon Age. Someone here needs to play Dragon Age.
I've been playing.
It looks similar. But
I'm saying the size, not
the size.
What does it look like?
Gotcha. I don't know. I haven't played The Witcher yet, I'm excited to play.
Throw facts around there.
I just know what I've, what I've been told about it so far.
No, it looks really good.
Yeah. Any other exciting upcoming games, guys?
I know the one that has me wishing I also had a PS4 is The Order 1886.
Yes.
Which looks phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see how... which is that the cover story at Game Informer?
No.
Oh, no, it's Tomb Raider. That's the other. I'm looking forward to that, though.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
At the office,
we
were looking at the original Tomb Raider at the office and how it compares to the one that's so bad.
The original?
The one for the PlayStation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
PS1. Mm-hmm. And it's just so ridiculous. And there's a boss, we were looking at this, there's a boss in one of the levels that's just a guy in a skateboard. It's like, why would you put this in this game? Funny. But yeah, I was watching somebody at the office play through the new Tomb Raider. It looks incredible. They got awesome hair physics for Lara. Like, her hair is constantly moving and doing
stuff. That's cool. And it's a small thing that kind of, makes the character more real. I mean, when I played through the newest Tomb Raider, that was really fun. I got really invested in
It's a great
her.
Game.
It was very weird, but cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also, with video games, Nintendo just started their revenue sharing service.
Yeah, they sort of backtracked on what they tried to do last year, I think they tried it, where they were going to do it. They basically were going to take all the revenue, I think.
Oh, really?
It was, yeah.
Yes, right, I remember that.
Everyone freaked out, and now they're going to take 30%, I think. And the creators get 70. But it still has a bunch of people sort of up in arms about it.
Yeah, people who, I think, get their income from YouTube, from Let's Plays and stuff. Like, PewDiePie has been the main proponent against that. Mm-hmm. Because his argument is, we're promoting your game, and people are going to buy it if they like our Let's Plays. You should give us all the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Nintendo's under any obligation... Like, they owe people the right to broadcast that stuff and get monetization. I think they can do whatever they want. And the fact that they have this program, I think, is good. I'm not a YouTuber professionally, so I don't really have a stake in it, but that's just what I think. I don't know.
I just feel like when there's other games or other game companies that are big, like Riot, that just let their content creators do it for free because they recognize it as...
They also get a ton of money.
That's true, but you can't say Nintendo doesn't have shit tons of money either. I mean, they could be
they do have tons of money
in the red for 20 years and still be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. They're actually doing pretty bad.
Yeah.
But they could keep their current business model with no cuts or changes for 20 years and be fine.
Yeah, they'll just keep pumping out Mario game after Mario game.
I'll buy it.
Yeah. and that's why we'll
keep they might adjust this model. Who's to say what'll happen? But I'm curious to see, I guess they've got a lot of requests to sign up for it. Already.
Yeah, and there's actually been backlash about that because now people are angry because it's taking too long to be approved. people can complain about anything. Because they've just been hit by so many people applying that it's just slow and people
How did they not see that coming?
I think they're holding up the thing of you either do it or you get sued or you get your channel pulled or whatever. So. Your choice is either to do it and protect yourself or not and get shut down.
Which, briefly speaking of Nintendo, this wasn't on here, but the Zelda Netflix
That's right.
Rumored series or whatever that the Wall Street Journal posted about. There was rumored to be a Legend of Zelda Netflix series.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if like how would that work if like they're obviously gonna have Link speak, which is bizarre to me because he doesn't talk in any of the games.
What if he doesn't?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What if he doesn't?
He doesn't speak.
Really weird.
He's a mute.
I think if they did that, what do you think? I think it would have the same challenges that you would see if you had to make a the challenges we. I think we talked about it in a podcast at this point, like 2 years ago, about doing a Halo movie about the Master Chief and that you don't see his face. Mm-hmm. And if you were to keep that, the idea of I think it would be a different dynamic, but a similar reason behind it. Like, how do you make those connections when you can't speak or you can't see?
I think Link can talk. He just has to say hah, hah, hah.
or he has to speak through the fairy.
Yeah.
Hey, over here. Link says go that way.
That's so fucking annoying.
You listen.
No, you listen.
Samuel Jackson is the new fairy.
Yes. Hey. We just watched the video. There's this awesome video we can maybe link of what if Samuel L. Jackson was the voice of your ghost in Destiny?
Which mentioned it last time.
We did. Yeah. And we got our wish.
We did. So, Bungie. Once again, Bungie.
I would
balls
gladly
in your
pay
court.
$20 to have Samuel Jackson be an option for my voice. I would, like, no other content other than Samuel Jackson's voice for my ghost. Totally would pay, you know, $20 for that.
Yep.
Probably. Absolutely. Definitely. No question.
Yeah, and then, David?
Yeah, then, so this is a big thing that was a shock to many people. Is, as you know, many of us here are fans of Rooster Teeth and the content stuff they create. And Monty Ohm, who was the lead animator since season 6 of Red vs. Blue and was the creator of the Rooster Teeth show Ruby, passed away last Sunday. There were some complications in medical procedure. I won't, you know, you can go to Rooster Teeth's site and you can see details there, but very,
quite a shock.
He was only 33 when he passed away. He really had a lot more left to go in. So, you know, our thoughts and condolences out to the Rooster Teeth family and his wife and family thing. But it sounds like, you know, the Ruby will continue. It sounds like their, you know, plans were already in place for as far as the content and stuff, so
okay,
that's what will continue. And then also with the other thing, it's sort of weird, like, it, you know, I think it was just, you know, timing was bad, but, you know, so we had Monty Ohm passed, and then 2 days later Rooster Teeth announced that they acquired Inside Gaming, which was, it looks like it was a company, like, 5 people who, they basically did sort of the earlier Rooster Teeth stuff, but they did exclusively, like, Let's Plays and podcast stuff, and they were with Machinima, and then Rooster Teeth bought them, and now they're a new division of Rooster Teeth based in L.A. called Funhouse.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And there's a whole thing about that, the corporate thing, because Rooster Teeth used to be signed with Machinima, then they left. And then Rooster Teeth was bought by Fullscreen, who was a direct competitor to Machinima. And now Inside Gaming guys left Machinima and are now bought by Rooster Teeth, which is owned by Fullscreen.
Oh, man.
So it's this whole thing.
That happens everywhere,
though. Corporate drama. Yeah, and I just wanted to add, you know, we sat in on a panel when we were at RTX where I think they revealed Ruby. I wasn't there for the Ruby panel. But Monty came out, I think, during one of the panels. It might have been the Halo panel that I was in that big room for.
Yeah.
And he seemed like a really cool guy, and I didn't know this until recently, but he made that Master Chief versus Samus video.
Yeah. It's not, again, versus
Halo
it,
and Nintendo.
It's Haloid was the name of the video.
Oh, yeah, Haloid.
Yeah, he was... It's, you know, it's the kind of thing you don't really realize how much you miss something until it's gone, and I didn't realize how much I appreciated Monty and everything he did. And I'm making some lifestyle changes because of Monty. He's one thing I admire, and I know I'll never have it the way he did, but his work ethic was unbelievable.
What do you do?
Never
sleep.
He basically didn't sleep. Like, he would go on to 30 or 40 hour times of just nonstop working. Wow. And he'd go home and then he'd sleep, and like he would do like odd hours of work. Like, sometimes, like, I think at the old Rooster Teeth office, he would get in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then work until 3 or 4 a.m. and then go home and sleep.
Wow.
And like he was always working. He was creating. His drive was unbelievable. And as I said, I don't have that, because I think a little bit of that is sort of an inherent thing that you sort of have to have that internal drive from. You can't force yourself to have it. But
my favorite story from him was, he was on a plane and he brought like like two monitors so he could like have like three screens yeah. to like multitask because he was like really big into like efficiency.
Yeah.
Like how he worked, like he would take off keys and remap them on his keyboard to get more efficient.
Yeah, I think it was like, they were talking about like when he first started, they had gotten him before anyone else in the company a brand new, really powerful laptop to do his animation stuff, and it was like before at the time when Gus was in charge of the IT support for the company before he even got a new computer, and he's usually first, but he got it, and so like they got it, and they were really happy, and they gave it to him. The first thing he does was pull out like a screwdriver and pull out the F1 key and pull out the escape key. He's like, well, what are you doing? He's like, well, I don't want to accidentally hit F1 because that'll slow me down. So, you know, because F1 and everything is help. So, yeah.
They even bought him a new, like, the updated version of the program they use. He's like, no, that's terrible because, like, part of the process he does it, like, he, like, lost, like, 5 seconds each time he does it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, like, yeah, just because like, no, you have to go to the
version.
You had to go to, like, an extra menu.
Yeah.
I think to get to something, it was buried a little differently. He's like, no, go back. And also, like, he would do, like, even his efficiency went so far as to just life in general, where if something needed to be microwaved for a minute, you just do 5-5 enter because it's faster because 55 is close enough to a minute. And so you just 5-5 enter instead of having to go 6-0 and change.
Like, every second counts.
Yeah, and there's at the last podcast that Rooster Teeth does, it was on Monday night, and he passed away on Sunday. And you can tell people were still torn up by, you know, there was probably some crying before the podcast started. It was really touching, and they all shared some of their stuff, and then they made this really, really great tribute video to Monty. It's on YouTube now. Mm-hmm. So I encourage watching it. It was quite emotional. I made sure to watch that podcast, and it was pretty strong.
Well, I mean, you know, talking about that work ethic, I think that's a good takeaway, and you know, kind of important in life in general is to make every second count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Exactly.
I will say that I am glad that they're continuing Ruby, though, so they can finalize his vision in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be exciting. And, you know, he was working with some other people who are also really closely involved in the core creation and the writing process. So I think that they have a good stock to keep going. So that would be a nice thing to do. Yeah. But it, well, as far as, you know, other storytelling stuff, yes, we have the announcement of the Oculus Story Studios.
Yeah, what is this? I'm not familiar.
You want to explain this
one? Yeah, so basically it's Oculus... part of their process of onboarding people onto their technology is they kind of have to prove the ability of it first. So they created a studio internally to create a animated movie for the Oculus Rift.
That's cool.
And it was headed by some ex Disney and Pixar guys, employees. Yeah. And sounds like it's really good. I was hoping they'd post it. I don't know if they have. It doesn't sound like they have, but it was at like Sundance or something. They showed it.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of a cool take on, you know, how invested they are in the vision of it, and, you know, kind of trying to prove that, hey, this is something that actually can work and people can enjoy these stories.
Is this a 3D film that you are immersed in?
Yeah. So you can look around.
Yeah. So you don't even need to look at where the action is. And I know, like, we had talked about the idea of trying to do something like this at some point in live action and with that, but this is, I think that, you know, this, it's much easier to do that in a 3D world than it is to do it with a camera,
right?
You have to deal with real life.
That's so appealing to me. One of the first games that I noticed a lack of traditional cutscenes is Bioshock Infinite, where the cutscenes are all from your first person, and a good part of the time you can still walk around and look at other stuff, or you can look at the people who are talking. That's really cool.
Half-Life was that way too, at least Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
Really crazy.
Voice kind of fades if you like
look right at
the
yeah
or like some of the games they even like stop, they'll be like, hey, what?
Yeah. Like, get your ass over here.
Pay attention to me. Like,
one thing that I'm enjoying in playing Skyrim again is a similar thing. Like, a lot of times when you're talking to people, you're sort of locked in to, you can't like move your feet, but you can still look around. And I never realized this before, I think, because I never played it before with headphones, but I'm playing now, is it's stereo setup. So if you turn your head to the right, you can't hear them in your left ear anymore. If like they're in front of you, you'll hear them only out of your right ear. If you turn the other way, same out of the left, which is really fun. It made it that little bit more immersive kind of thing that... But and I think they have like 10 shorts lined up already. Like I think they announced like 5 shorts that are in production, and they showed a bunch of the movie posters for them, or short posters. I think they're only like 20 minutes long or so.
Because I think it would be a really cool experience, and I hope they did this, where it's the point where, by the way they create it and the use of sound and visuals, they... You just naturally lead to looking a certain way, which continues the story, and it makes you feel like you've made that decision to look
exactly,
that way.
Yeah.
And then because of that, you triggered something, or I really enjoy that, like, that level of involvement.
Definitely.
In the story.
I'm curious how they're going to handle, obviously we haven't seen the short, so I don't know what style it is, but as far as is it set up as a first person thing, or is it set up that you're a camera, if you will? Because obviously if the camera or you or whatever were to start moving, but you're sitting in a chair, that could be really, I feel like it could be really disorienting that you're moving,
right,
but you're not obviously not moving. Or if it's set up where, like, it's a locked off camera setup, where, like, you're observing this situation and you can't move from where you are, and the camera doesn't physically move, and you can look around.
People still enjoy that, like, feeling though of, like, getting brought some, like, if you go to, like, the Omni Theater, even, like, IMAX, you know, people like that, you're, like, surrounded, or you're flying, you know, through forests or valleys and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a fine line, like, for the Oculus, that roller coaster program, you know.
Well, the problem is that we have the dev kit too, and it's the technology behind it isn't there yet. This they brought with their I forgot what the prototype is called, but something that's not available. Yeah,
Crescent Bay, I think.
Where it is, like, almost to the level of, you know, it has the right technology, it has the right frame rate to reduce people's
nausea and headaches and stuff.
Yeah. And the other thing,
you're turning and stuff, and things are lagging, and it's just, it's not good.
The other thing I wonder is, are these shorts set up as, if you will, one shot? Because another thing that would be kind of weird, if you're in it, and, like, say, you know, we're shooting a movie and it's here, so our camera's here, and then it does a jump cut to another place somewhere else.
You could maybe do, like,
zapping yourself completely to a new location.
You could be, I think, like, more like fade, or, like, transition behind a column cut would be
that could be
smooth jarring. Transitions would be ideal. And going back, Lee, to your comment about, like, you making the choice in a game and triggering something, just real quick, the Bioshock Infinite reference again, you know, there's a part of the game where you're looking at something and you, like, activate a button, and then you have to, like, go back to the door you opened, and then when you turn around, there's something there right in your face that's scary as hell. And I just kept thinking, if this was any other game, you would lose control of your player and he would turn around for you and give you that jump scare. Just the fact that you were the one turning into it made it that much scarier.
Yeah, because you're like, when it takes over, you're like, all right, they're setting me up for something.
Yeah, like, your brain's like, all right, something's gonna happen here.
And I feel like
horror games. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say,
like, you open the door and then they, like, you just see the video and they're like, nope. Just shut
the door. Well, I think that's one where I feel like it may become a flood of horror games built in the Oculus Rift.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. You know, think if you have this, again, like, stereo. Well, yeah, even more so. Like, you have stereo headphones. You hear the little, like, little something behind you,
and you look,
around. It's like, do you look or do you not
that's
look?
Scary. Yeah.
run away. Yeah. Like,
nope.
Yeah.
Not for me.
And, like, I figure there's going to be, like, you know, if that's happening in a video game, it's on your flat screen. You let, like, go of the controls. You can back off.
Well, even like movies, you, like, put up the blanket.
Yeah. The thing, like, you have the Oculus, like, it's strapped to your face.
Yeah. Of course. You just, like, pull it.
It's like a face hugger. Ah, can't get it off.
The virtual blanket.
Right. But so I guess, keeping in the topic of films, our last segment for the podcast, we saw Jupiter Ascending, or Jupiter Rising, if you're Ben.
I call it, like, once on Facebook I say Jupiter Ascending, and then I say Jupiter Rising.
The newest.
It's like, ah, everywhere.
Ben's new nickname is Jupiter Rising.
Jupiter
Rising.
The newest Wachowski film, and we saw it IMAX 3D. What were you guys' first impressions of the movie?
I love the costume design. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That was pretty cool.
Wachowskis love their costumes and their movies.
Has anyone here seen Dune? The movie Dune, an older one. Okay.
I haven't seen it.
One thing that I did enjoy is, I did enjoy the production design of it, and the design aesthetic of the world. And I would akin it to almost a gothic-ish style. It's it's large, exaggerated buildings, large windows, big spaces, those kinds of things that, you know, you can see sort of in the more literal sense in the original Batman movie with Tim Burton's very gothic. But in this old movie Dune, and it was made back in the 80s. Sting was in it. The singer Sting was in it. But it's a very similar thing. I noticed a lot of ties between it, and where you're sort of, it's a little better in this movie, but where you're sort of thrown into this world and they don't take a huge amount of time to explain it. Like in this movie, like you just start out and you're just going with it, and you have to sort of extrapolate.
That was one of the complaints, though, is they threw you in, but then all the answers came from the main character asking questions.
Yeah,
like
oldest trick in the book.
I'm just trying to learn. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening? Well, these people, A, B, C. Like,
yeah. No. So I mean, this is in the trailer, but it's basically like the universe is full of civilizations that are much higher technologically than humans, and Earth is just like a little small part of this big industry and all this stuff.
Should we have like a spoiler break and like get into more detailed stuff? Otherwise it's like,
all right, from now to the end, spoilers.
So if you're leaving now, thank you very much for watching. And if you're staying with us, Jupiter dies.
Well, should we?
Snape kills Jupiter.
I'm thinking maybe we do our recommendations of like before people leave.
Bleep that out, David.
If you liked the trailer, you'll like the movie. If you didn't like the trailer, you probably won't like the movie.
I was in the latter category.
That's perfect.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Because I felt exactly walking out of the movie. I'm like, yeah, when I saw the trailer, that's what I thought the movie would be like.
Pretty much.
Okay, a couple of things here. I just want to get this off my chest.
Now it's serious, you know, the hair thing is going back.
I love... Oh, God. My favorite part by far, I forget his name. Who was the villain? You guys remember his name?
Oh.
Not in the movie.
Botox. Called Botox. I don't know. That's what that, he was like.
Anna Bravo.
He acted like we call him Botox. He did not move his face. He had Botox like right before his scene started or something.
I loved, that was my favorite part of the movie. He was such a good villain for me. For me, like a good villain is a sadistic person who's completely unpredictable. The extreme bad example of a villain is like Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy. Just an angry dude who's pissed off. Like this guy, like he was like calm and like manipulative and just sadistic, and you never knew what the hell he was going to do. Like the Joker in Dark Knight.
He wasn't even like the focus in most of the movie. Like there were like kind of multiple pseudo villains, but like he was like a big part of it and kind of went away, but it was still like acting within the world.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
And then the thing that ruined the movie but just didn't work at all was Mila Kunis' acting. She had the emotional dynamic of a turnip in this film. No, seriously, if you watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall, she is 10 times more emotive in that film than in this one. Like she's actually like crying and upset.
That's what I'm saying. She's good in the rom-coms.
No, when she finds out that the main character has slept or not slept, like fooled around with his ex and kind of cheated on her, she was like really emotional and you could feel it. And that was 10 times the emotion that she felt in this movie when she saw her family get kidnapped and was probably gonna die. She's like, oh no.
Oh no, yeah. Turn up.
And I'm just like, no, show me something.
I also maybe expected more confusion. Considering that she just figured out she was a genetic.
Yeah. Well, and Channing too. Yeah. He like, I think he was supposed to be that character where like no emotion. He's just like, I'm a soldier. But like, even those type of characters, like they should have like at some point they like break down emotionally or get exposed and like that
take
never happened.
Yeah, I was gonna say how can we find an excuse for Channing Tatum to take his shirt off at some point and have a fight with his shirt off? And also, you notice that for two things. One, I found to a T, it followed Campbell's hero's arc. Except obviously it's with a mother and sort of a mother
and herself.
Yeah, sort of thing. But also. The rule of threes came out super hardcore in this, and I was really annoyed with it.
So
because it was like, so like there were three major fights in it. They had to see the three different siblings.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, it was just all the time with it.
Well, like Sean brought that up too. It was like, and each one was the exact same of like, she's about to do something and like he's about to like he needs save to her. Rush in and like save her.
It happens like, exactly the same as it twice in the movie that happens like beat for beat.
Yeah,
it was three times.
That's right.
Yeah.
The medical ring. And
I forgot about the first one
at the end.
Man, yeah. And the problem with that is if you follow the formula too much, like there's no tension. There's no reason to care at all.
Not at all. And actually, the most surprising thing is that Sean Bean survived the movie.
Yes,
he didn't die.
I was like, what? No.
Like, I was like, oh, this is it. He's gonna.
oh, what?
Yeah. Survived. Like, then, end the movie and you're just like, oh, he's still alive.
There's a lot of cool things in the movie that I feel like made me think it could have been a lot better. Like, I really liked how the evil fortress city, whatever, was in this, underneath the storm in Jupiter's Jupiter. Yeah, this, the Jupiter's yeah. Eye, yeah. whatever it's called. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of, you know, Earth is just
a farm
based and cows. And like when I saw the preview, I'm like, oh, there are these aliens who look just like humans. We've seen that so many times in sci-fi. I wonder what their, you know, rationale is going to be. No. And I thought they did a good job saying, like, no, we're all humans. Earth has just
been seeded. So was that... So there, everybody was a human, and the people that didn't look like human were just genetically altered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There was, like,
but
some
there were
aliens,
other races, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they said the dinosaur... Like, they wiped out the dinosaurs, but they had some amount of intelligence when they wiped them out for the planet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the human DNA was, like, spliced with whatever was on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... wouldn't it all be crazy if, you know, like at the very end when like the Wachowskis are retiring, I was like, oh yeah, this has all been existing in the Matrix. our entire cinematic world at Cloud Atlas, this one, it's all been in the Matrix.
I could see that.
What I was confused about too was like she was treated as like, oh, your majesty, like, but it seemed like the way they talked about the family was just like they were just a powerful business family.
Yeah, that's
like I was really confused of like, mm-hmm. why are they royalty? Are they actually royalty, or they just have lots of money and they're
it
called royalty?
Like they, like, we're somewhere like bureaucratic royalty.
Like
aristocrat,
she
had to, like,
yeah.
you know, file for her tax status as a royal.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. I was like, what? Like they don't recognize her as royalty then? Like when they went in that scene, mm-hmm. I was like,
yeah,
and I was like, oh, this is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I know, I actually got
scene.
The exact same vibe,
and it was way too long.
It was pretty long.
All right, we get it.
It felt
like
being in the
DMV,
basically.
Yeah, like okay, yes, you're making fun of bureaucracy. Get on with it.
Yeah,
get on with it.
And Terry Gilliam was that old dude.
Yeah.
Like,
oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a good time.
But I mean, yeah, the fight scenes were pretty cool, but to me, a lot of them didn't feel like that tense.
Yeah.
At all. And I'm like, oh, they'll be fine.
And
they won't die.
And two things with those. One is, how many times can we have Channing Tatum do like a backwards kick? Like a loop de loop.
The first
kick.
One was cool.
The first one was cool, and then the next three times, and every time it was in slow motion or whatever. Like, thank you. I think that slow motion was a little overused.
Mm-hmm.
It was, as you say, it was underutilized and overused.
There's this one scene when they were trying to like run towards the portal. And they did like slow motion, but then they like cut off his feet. So it was just like Channing Tatum, like weird running with like Mila Kunis on his back. And it just looked really
and
bad.
Also, can I say, so in the trailer, there's the fight that you see this of them fighting over Chicago.
Yeah.
And so I understand like the way they talk about rebuilding, like they can wipe people's brains and they can rebuild cities to cover up their interaction.
But
can
we
say
in
the entire huge fight?
Yeah.
You never like I was looking for it. I started looking for it. You saw one human bot.
Really,
human
I
person.
Didn't see any.
You see it, and you see that one that is like they're on the bridge and a truck crashes.
Oh, okay.
You see that like the person through the windshield. Other than that, you don't see another human.
I mean,
like,
you
directly.
You would
like,
think
you see the effects.
You would think there'd be mass casualties from that battle. Like,
oh, for sure.
Thousands dead.
Yeah.
Oh,
how do they wipe
they
those?
They blew away buildings.
Yeah. How do they resurrect those people?
They just wipe because they were like, oh, short term memory, but like if. People died. That those are
long-term
memories
memory.
Of like family members
yeah,
and stuff.
Seriously,
that you can't wipe.
I think like this movie is really enjoyable if we don't think about it too much.
Yeah. And what do you guys think of the? I kind of rolled my eyes when the ship left and left a crop circle.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I was like,
that made me laugh a lot. Actually,
I thought that was pretty bad.
I know what you're talking about. I just didn't even think about it.
I
saw
that.
Yeah,
hilarious.
You were thinking,
like,
so.
And the camera like stayed on the crop circle, and I was like, don't fucking.
And
don't
then we find out
movie.
That actually the Wachowskis and Mel Gibson were in on it, and that's the start of Signs. That's what you don't know.
I'm just like, really?
Those little spider guys are susceptible to water.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked the drama and the turn coding. That kept things interesting. Like when
I was no.
You didn't like the
no. I thought it was like okay.
That was really oddly placed.
I felt like okay when it, okay. I'm counting down. He's obviously especially when the daughter, the Sean Bean's daughter, left. He's like, shall I come with you? He's like, no, it's fine. It's like something's gonna happen with her. There's gonna be a hostage situation. He's gonna be
yeah.
like it's only a matter of time.
Yeah,
he's
like,
gonna die before it happens.
I'm fine.
Oh, specifically, I like the fact that she was like trying to learn who to trust with her
yeah.
siblings.
I did like the three siblings and like
how they were fighting with each other.
Yeah,
and
just
like
that. And I liked him, the bad dude, the the bad, whatever you want to call him.
The villain.
But,
Bodas guy.
He was just like, the part where he's just like, I'm not like my siblings. Like, I don't play games. Like,
yeah.
You won't shoot me.
Bam. also, with him, like, I was, one thing that I was expecting to come up with is, like, at the very beginning when you first meet him, the one brother makes a snide comment about him not looking well. Mm-hmm. And with all these interactions, like, when he has these sudden outbursts, it seems like it hurts him. Like, physically, like, he's sick or something. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was going to come up. Like, there's something, like he is sick, he is dying,
yeah,
something like that.
I wanted more of an arc for him.
Yeah, and I felt like there was something that was there, and then it was cut out. That's what I feel like.
I think it would have been better if the youngest son actually killed the mother.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
King.
Like the, I don't outwardly Titus. Show it, but I'm actually pretty vicious, and like, I was really close to my mother, and that's why. Like,
yeah. And I was confused that, I thought what I was going to do is that the royalty person that, what the wolf man, Channing Tatum, killed was the mom.
I thought that's what I thought, because he doesn't remember it.
He like, oh, he was forced into doing it by the brother, and then he had his short-term memory wiped.
That part, I was like, oh, this is going to get really cool. They're going to go into, like, people are, like, genetically, like, kind of like Halo, where they're genetically, like, programming people, even like the Master Chief, to like do certain things in their life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is gonna get really
complicated. And then Mila Kunis is gonna find out, and it's gonna be like, you killed my mom, or my, well, the person I don't care about because she's not my mom.
You killed me in my previous life.
It would be like Twilight.
I would have
liked
to
kill you, but I don't.
I would have liked that there was an actual connection between her and the previous person.
They just made it seem like,
oh, I'm not her at all. I was just like,
it's kind of like Destiny, where like Destiny has like all like the little parts that sound like they'll like be really, really, really great, and then like just they don't really fit,
mesh right
together. There's like there's stuff missing. There's like hints of like really great ideas, but they're not really fleshed out, and you just like you're left with
an action scene.
There was a lot of cool sci-fi, a lot of elements that could have been done well.
Another thing I was reminded of, the ships looked really cool.
And so did the costume design.
Mm-hmm.
A part like, I've been watching some of those Every Frame Painting YouTube channel guy, and like after watching some of those, like, I actually like understand more of like why some things I don't like, because I just didn't have the training or the knowledge of the way to look at a film and like how to break it down. And in a scene that I really agreed with, he was talking about like the quadrant system in the movie Drive, and also a Japanese, I think it was Japanese film, where just like leading your visual with the characters and how it progresses through the scene. And when they were talking with the two main characters, or I think it was the leading up, like, oh, she's like really liking him, the dog trailer part. But
I love dogs.
But it was all it was just like her, him, cut, her, him, her, him, her, him.
Yeah.
Just standing
shot
there.
Shot,
I was just
that scene is so boring. That scene kind of bugged
me. This is not a movie. Like, this is not what movie, like, filmmaking is supposed to be about. Yeah. And that just, like, I felt, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I expected more from
that team.
I do, and I was reading an article about this the other day, and one thing that the guy was saying, and I would agree with, is I do give credit for the Wachowskis for at least trying to make an original science fiction fantasy-esque movie nowadays. Like, they do, I think they actually deserve a lot of credit for that.
I actually, when we did this, looked up to see if it was a book first and was surprised that it wasn't
a
book.
Which is impressive because, you know, with all, you know, we're getting another Jurassic Park, they might be rebooting Indiana Jones.
Peter Pan.
Disney? No. You do not do it. Put Indiana Jones down. Stop it. Stop.
Peter Pan remake that we saw.
Peter Pan, like, we're
just
seeing all this.
Different.
I actually think it looks pretty good. It's like a prequel
or something like that.
I think it looks good.
So they do deserve credit for at least trying to branch out. And even if it didn't fully work, the other thing I feel like is they inadvertently set themselves up for a sequel. Because the reality is, so the older brother died. The middle brother is potentially going to jail. Or whatever, space jail. These are just space cops. The sister is still out there.
Well, and it bothered me that the sister just like, okay, we're done with her part of the story.
Yeah.
She'll never come back.
And the other thing, the other reality
is... Yeah, what was she trying to do?
She, She had no motive.
Just trying
apparently.
To stop her brothers.
Yeah. She was just trying to nice. Like reconnect with her like
with her mom.
Younger, not mom genetic match.
And,
two
and also, mm-hmm. can we say when the middle brother tried to marry him? Can any of you imagine trying to marry someone who looks exactly the same
well,
as your
yeah.
mom?
Yeah,
I was like, there's
same
no way.
Genetics.
So yeah, so like, now we're inbreeding.
Yes, it's still inbreeding.
And the other thing is,
no, it was just political though. Like,
yeah,
or, they weren't gonna do legal. It.
But still,
even with all those weird fairy stuff, chicks, you know, he probably would have tried.
And the other weird thing that you have to look at is another spoiler of the thing is, you know, they talk about the reason that they harvest humans is because they can use it to regenerate themselves
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. And so the other reality is Mila Kunis does not have, well, probably, I suspect she wouldn't choose to use it, but she is not using that stuff. So conceivably, after about 80 years on, she will die.
Yeah, they,
and
they
then the
just,
Earth will revert back to her other family. So she is only guaranteed
no,
the safety
like,
of the Earth.
I would assume she would have a kid and then pass on that knowledge and like keep.
I mean, she can write
safe.
Her will, like whatever
yeah.
happens,
oh, yeah, that's
kind of
true.
Thing.
Yeah, but also, but you know, also because it didn't get any ideas, we don't know how that air system works for them.
That,
like, because she's a reincarnation, does that entitle her children?
Yeah, because
the
it,
same
it,
way,
like,
or is it with the other current living? Because
that was the whole thing with
people.
The
we'll never know.
That was the whole thing with the political scene or whatever. Like her getting her, like she was reinstating herself
Mila
as
Kunis
her
waits
older
in
self.
Line at the Galactic DMV.
Because they
riveting storytelling.
They like reincarnation is actual like a legal thing to do, or
mm-hmm.
but
well,
that reminds
that
me at the end where they're flying through Chicago. Like who has not seen them?
Yeah,
oh, yeah
the
there's
at least 300 people with cell phones out recording that.
My entire thing is like this, like watching a movie and thinking like whenever they're close in the solar system, like NASA would be freaking out right now.
Yeah,
they monitor all.
Well,
this
even
like,
even
oh
Jupiter.
Gosh, this
yeah,
thing
yeah,
there.
Like
exactly.
ships entering and exiting Jupiter.
Yeah,
there's.
I will say though that one scene where the ship like goes through the rings, that was really cool.
That was a beautiful shot. I remember thinking that doesn't look very practical, but it looks cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Probably
incredibly practical. Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go around it. You can
or
move in three dimensions.
In space for, like, 2 minutes.
Come on.
Oh yeah, Channing.
Yeah.
I had a Guardians of the Galaxy flashback where they're like, "Ah, he's an alien. He'll be fine." That's the excuse. Like he's not human. He'll survive.
Yeah, genetic.
Like,
and also jet boots. Isn't
song.
There jet boots
yeah.
in Guardians of the Galaxy too?
But he was surfing, though.
You're right, he was surfing.
That bothered
gravity
me, like,
surfing.
The amount of surfing.
Yeah.
That was involved.
And also,
the
they make
scenes,
it
because it was very, like...
I mean,
like,
he's just riding on roller skates during the set, so, I mean, why do you care about it too much?
Another thing that bothered me was his facial hair.
Yeah, that didn't look
it
didn't
was,
look right.
There was some weird...
Well, was, they colored him, too.
But
weird.
They had to make him more, like... Because he's
more, he's crunched with a wolf, or he said wolf
like. I kept thinking, Twilight. I kept thinking about Twilight. I forgot about Twilight. But like, just like, yeah, Team Jacob. Like, oh, it's just like girl, like just loving her pet wolf, just walking around everywhere.
She loves dogs.
Which is
and
hilarious.
They mention vampires.
Yeah,
too.
They do mention vampires. So it's like, you know, Botox
guys. But
anyway,
so any final. Final thoughts on
yeah.
that? Do you just want to go around? Just like your final
well,
thoughts?
I don't know if
you,
well,
I think we have kind of said what we think. Unless
I loved the movie. I really enjoyed it. But now that
it
we're talking
about it.
Like,
was exactly what I thought it
yeah,
was.
When you analytically think about it.
Analytically? Think
about it's a
wow.
great bad movie. It's a great bad movie.
It's tough, man. Because it's kind of like Destiny. You were like, yeah, there's so much cool stuff. But you didn't.
It's gorgeous. But maybe it doesn't have the right storyline.
Gorgeous is a bit strong.
Yeah.
Some of the costume
design
is
DVD.
Gorgeous. I mean,
Sean's giving his thumbs down.
He okay. didn't like it at all.
I look more at costume design than I look at world design. So
just look at screenshots of it.
Gorgeous.
Don't go to the movie.
What?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Hey,
see, look at that. Look at that. That was 10 times the emotion we saw some meat from the films in the film, right there.
Which is also hilarious.
See,
slow reaction happened because I have a minor concussion right now.
See, Wachowskis, this is how you direct.
Method acting.
That's how Chris Nolan
act,
directed.
Act, Melissa. Act. What?
That's how Chris Nolan directed. What's her face? The female actor
in Interstellar.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, like her, like when they were in the water, the planet,
yeah.
water, like her suit was leaking, and she was like getting the first signs of hypothermia.
Oh,
she's like, oh, what is hypothermia, like signs? And he's like,
get the cameras ready. Let's go.
It'd be like, because he wanted that, like,
real quick, funny story. And like, there's all sorts of rules now about how you can obviously treat your actors, yeah, and especially with children. Because one of the incidents that started it is this was an old movie, but they was filming with this girl, and then she needed to do this emotional scene when she was crying. So they told her parents had died.
Oh,
and they had her do the scene to get her to cry and be emotional for it.
That's mad.
And so after that, they made a lot of rules about what you can and can't do with child actors.
Yeah. And on that note,
movie was okay.
Yeah,
that's my
again. Bad. It's exactly what you'd expect from the trailer,
but not what I'd expect from the Wachowskis. But so, of course, I've been let down by them ever since the second.
It was Matrix movie. Like a Matrix 2 and 3.
Something like that. With fewer sex scenes.
No.
I feel like it was like Dracula. Like, Dracula was a fun movie, but it wasn't good. I don't know.
Mm.
It was nice to see Mila Kunis fully clothed the whole time.
She was. Was that fun?
But then, like, they open up with, like, her roommate who's, like, just walking around in her laundry.
Yeah.
That was weird. I felt that was a little too long of a scene.
That's not her roommate either. That was a client. Like, I think she cleans that person's house.
No, I thought that was her friend.
They were friends.
But she uses her name.
Yeah, I thought it was her friend.
Fake identity.
I just thought it was like akin to like the in Star Trek Into Darkness when they have the one officer who's like changing and then he just like looks back and they have like the one shot of her like on her like lingerie.
Yeah,
that'll be in Star Wars.
I'm like, this is exactly this.
That was underwear, not lingerie.
Yeah. It was space underwear.
I mean, it could be the
space underwear.
Why would she just wear lingerie in a starship?
Lingerie is underwear.
No, it's about intent. Lingerie is not the same as underwear.
Actually, I would disagree. Lingerie is underwear.
Okay, all right. Well, on that note, we're cutting the podcast. We hope you enjoyed our very first video podcast. We might be back, depending on how much you like to see our ugly mugs on screen.
If there's any one of us that you want us blurred out in a future one, you let me know. I know it's Wade, but... You can let me know.
I see you pointing. All right, this is Izcast 25. We'll see you next month for 26.
Yeah.
All right, get me out of here.